Well, obviously, if you're not in Sunday school, you're missing out. So we hope you'll join us in Sunday school. We do have a good time and just learn so much of the Lord and building relationships and having a good time. And so we hope you'll join us. I do also want to remind you of Wednesday evenings. We do have a small group that meets on Wednesday evenings, and we're talking about the radical teachings of Jesus. And that's at 6:30 on Wednesday, and this Wednesday, hopefully. We've had a few misses here and there due to weather and illness and such, but we hope you'll join us Wednesday evening, small group, Radical Teachings of Jesus, 6:30. And so we hope you'll be a part of that, and we appreciate that song that Terry shared with us. And I hope that you know this morning that you are loved, and that God loves you, and God is for you. No matter what the world says, I want you to know that God loves you and that God is for you this morning. Every one of you that are here, all that's joining us online, God loves you. So I want you to know that you're loved. And of course, this is still the month of February. And so in the spirit of Valentine's Day, and I hope that you did spend some time with your significant other. Cards, flowers, chocolate, dinner, something. Right? You did that, right? Yeah, okay, some of you did that. Some of you just smiling like, I probably should have done that. But it's still February, so, you know, if you go to Walmart right now, you can probably get 50% off. I don't know if your spouse would appreciate that or your girlfriend would appreciate that or not. But, But in the spirit of Valentine's Day, we're going to talk about love. Yep, we're going to talk about love. Actually, today and then next Sunday, as we finish out the month of February, we're going to be talking about love, but from a little bit different perspective. Today, we're going to talk about love your enemies. And then next week, we're going to talk about love your neighbor. Two very important people that Scripture shares with us that we're supposed to love. And so love is an interesting and powerful emotion. If you've experienced love at any level, you already understand that. There's just something about love. It's almost indescribable because it is such a powerful emotion. And thinking about love tonight in the service, we're going to be talking about the truth about love, what love is and what love is not. And so maybe you want to join us this evening, 7:00, as we talk about what love, the truth about love. But love is interesting in a powerful emotion in which Jesus shares with us on numerous occasions. As you come to the teachings of Jesus, he talks about loving your enemy, about loving your neighbor, about loving your brother and sister in Christ, and on and on and on it goes about how we should love God, and so he talks a lot about this thing of love. And so I believe it becomes very clear in Scripture that we are to love others. We're to love others. In fact, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 through 48, Jesus tells us to love our enemies. For a moment, you might go, what? Love our enemies? Yes, that's exactly what Jesus shares with us. And just in case you don't believe me, let's take our Bibles and let's turn over to, I think you do, but just in case you don't, let's take our Bibles and let's turn over to Matthew chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 43, Matthew chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 43 through 48 this morning. Appreciate if you would stand for the reading of the Word. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 through 48. And this is a section out of the Sermon on the Mount as Jesus is sharing with the disciples and the other individuals that has gathered around as he talks about the fulfillment of the law. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brother only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Powerful words from the Lord this morning. Join us in a word of prayer. Dear precious Father, Lord, as we come to you this morning, we are so thankful for the beautiful, sweet Spirit that is among us this morning to just be able to come and to be able to worship. We're so grateful for that, Lord, and for your word this morning, even though it may challenge our heart, Lord, and cause us to rise up to a higher level in our relationship with you. We rejoice in the word, and we just ask this morning that your word would stir the heart of your people. And Lord, I ask that you would come this morning and that you would help us to understand this concept of loving our enemies better and deeper than we ever have before. And so, Lord, we need you to come and to stir our heart. And we ask once again, that you allow us to come under the anointing of the Holy Spirit that allows for the preaching of the Word. And so, Lord, we just need you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us. We ask in your precious name. Amen. You may be seated this morning. As I'm sure you can tell, we want to take a few moments this morning and talk to you about loving our enemies. But before we do that, I think it's important that we just take a moment and understand this concept of enemy. And I think it is important to note, though, that not everybody that disagrees with us is our enemy. I know the world we're living in right now, if you disagree with somebody, they get all bent out of shape and they don't like you very well. And I guess that's okay, because we need to be who we are, and we need to believe in the Word and share the Word, and we need to do it in love. But I want us to grasp this concept of what an enemy is. If Jesus is telling us to love our enemies, we need to understand what the enemy is. Well, if you go to the dictionary, you would find a definition like this. An enemy is a person who hates, opposes, or fosters harmful design against another. A hostile opponent. So when we think about an enemy, even in Jesus' words as an enemy, and we're going to talk about that in just a little bit, but an enemy is a person who hates you. That's an enemy, a person who hates you. Or a person who severely opposes you. Not disagrees, but opposes you. To the point where they foster harmful will and wishes against you. That's the enemy. Or a hostile opponent. Someone who is out to get you and to harm you. That would be an enemy. I hope this morning that none of us have enemies. But the likelihood is that we probably have some. And because of that, we find that Jesus addresses this issue in regard to enemies. In fact, Jesus himself says, love your enemies. And so let's consider what Jesus says in verses 43 and 44. And what he says to us is, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. I have to stop and think about that for just a minute. Jesus said, this is what you've been told. You get told a lot to love your neighbor and hate your enemy, or love your neighbor and get even with your enemy. Jesus said, that's what you've been told. And the truth is, if you watch TV very much, or even on the internet very much, or just see and look in our culture, we see a lot of that. But Jesus says, I say to you. Now this is Jesus. This isn't anybody else. This is Jesus, the Son of God, Creator of the world, our Lord and Savior. He says, this is what I say to you. I say to you, love your enemies. I don't care what you've been told before. I don't care where you've heard it before. I don't care what the world says to do. This is what I'm telling you to do in the words of Jesus. I'm telling you to love your enemies.
Love the person who hates you. Love the person who just fervently opposes you. Love the person who wants to harm you. Love the person who is hostile to you. Jesus says, love that person. Dramatic pause. Think about that for a minute. That person that you just dread to see on Monday morning at work, Jesus says, help me out here. Love them. That person that cuts you off as you're driving down the road to turn 2 feet in front of you, love them. Yep. Even though they say honk if you love Jesus on bumper sticker on the back of the car, you still love them. Or if they cut you off in line while you got your truck and your camper twisted around trying to get to the gas station and they just pull right around you and get to the gas pump, you still love them. Or the person that cuts in line at Walmart at the self-checkout when there's 15 people behind you and there's 15 people in front of you and they just step in front of you. Been there? Did you do that? Oh, by the way, that's not what this is about. Jesus says, love them. Note, however, Jesus didn't say it was easy to love them. But nonetheless, he said, love them. So I want you to know this morning, when you leave this place, that you're to love your enemy. Yes, that person who hates you, severely opposes you to the point of harm, who is hostile to you on any given moment, yes, Jesus says, love them. You might pause for a minute and wonder why in the world, and we're going to talk about that too, but why would Jesus tell us something like that? If anybody has the right to say, love your enemy, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. Because He loved His enemies. Even on the cross of Calvary, when He was given His life, one of the last 7 statements He said was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. My, what a statement. That they crucified Him. Father, forgive them. If anybody can say to us, we need to love our enemies, it's Jesus, because Jesus did that very thing. In fact, Scripture tells us that He loved us even when we didn't love Him. And so Jesus has the power and the right to tell us today that we need to love our enemies. But He also showed us how to do it as He surrendered His life, even for His enemies. And so if we're going to love our enemies, a question, I believe, has to begin to come to our mind. And I think that question is, how do we love our enemies? How do we love that person who hates us? How do we love that person who opposes us all the time? How do we love that person that fosters harm to us? How do we love that person that's always hostile to us? How do we do that? Well, just as Jesus always does, He shares with us how. And so if I could draw our attention this morning to verse 44, or at least the remainder of verse 44, because Jesus shares with us in this very passage how we're to love our enemies. And so once again, He shares with us in verse 44 this morning, I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. And so we find right here in our passage of Scripture, I mean, almost immediately after Jesus says, love your enemies, he tells us exactly how to do that. And so first he says, bless those who curse you. Now, who are those who curse us? Those would be the people who talk really bad about us and say really bad things about us that are absolutely not true. You've probably encountered a few people like that in your life, here and there. There are people who just treat other people badly. They just do, and they talk bad about them. And so there are people that are cursing you, just say really bad things to you, and sometimes they do that just to get to you, just to, as we say in our society, to push our buttons, just to see how we're going to react. And if we're believers, sometimes people do that just to get us stirred up. And so Jesus says, bless those who curse you. Okay, we understand that the people who curse us are the ones who really talk bad about us and say bad things to our face and say bad things about us to everybody else that aren't true. But what about the bless part? If we're loving our enemies, how do we bless those people? We do the opposite. We don't talk bad about them. We don't go in next day and, can you believe what so-and-so said about me yesterday? Uh-oh. Some of us, maybe all of us, have been there time or two. Just love your enemies. Bless them. So we're talking about bless them. We're going to do the opposite. We're going to talk good about them. Now, this is just kind of how the Lord is. You know what's going to bother that person more than you talking bad about them? Is when you talk good about them. Absolutely. I'm telling you, that'll get to them quicker than if you say bad things back to them. And so when they say bad things, you say good things to them. Just the absolute opposite of cursing them, you say good things about them. As believers, we should only have good things to say anyway, right? Shake your heads, that's right. Participate with me, yeah. And we'll see that coming in just a minute. And so, when they talk bad about us, we talk good about them. But we also see that Jesus says, do good to those who hate you. Those people that hate us. They want nothing to do with us and treat us badly. And they're probably in the same group of those that curse us, say bad things about us. But those that hate us, they just simply can't stand us. The Lord says, do good to them. What does it mean to do good? Not only is it about talk good about them, but it's about helping them. When you see them struggle, do good and help them. It's kind of like the person who cuts you off in their automobile and just turns quickly in front of you and you see them with a flat tire the next day. What do we normally do? Got what you deserved, and we drive right on by. That's not of God. He would say, love your enemy. And so what do? We pull in behind them, we get out, and we assist them in changing their tire. We do good. When they get back in their automobile and go on down the road, they're going to be thinking, why in the world did they just help me change this tire? There's a purpose for that. You can see that in a minute. And so we do good to them, however that might be. When I was a teenager, and I've got a lot of people that really messed with me as a teenager because I was a preacher in my teens. And so they made fun of me a lot at school,
and gave me a lot of hassle. I don't know if they were necessarily my enemies. They were just being rotten teenagers, as many of us was when we were teenagers. Shake your head again. The next day, I would bring them a candy bar. And I would love their expression. I probably shouldn't have, but I did. Of course, I was a teenager. I was still young. I would give them that candy bar and just walk off. And their expression, you could see the disgust in them when I treated them good for them treating me bad. There's a purpose in that. We'll see that purpose. And man, the Lord says, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. And he says, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. That's that person that hates so much that they foster harmful things to happen to you. And Jesus says, pray for those people who spitefully use you. Have you ever felt used? Come on now. You live in the same world that I do, right? No, maybe not. Most of you live in Martin County, at least. Southern Indiana. And so there's times in your life that you've been, unfortunately, you've been used. Somebody used you. Now, sometimes that's unintentional. They didn't necessarily mean to do that. But there's some people who intentionally use other people. And sometimes they do it very spitefully because they do hate you. And Jesus simply says, those people, you pray for them. You pray for them. Now we might pause and wonder for a minute. I mean, that's it? That's all we do? We just pray for them? Yeah. You know why? For the believer, prayer is the most powerful resource we have. If there's ever a moment you're going to say, can you believe what somebody said to me? You say that to the Father. And then you say, Father, even though they did this to me and they said this to me and I felt used because of what they did to me, I want you to bless them. Not I wish that guy who cut me off in the road would get a flat tire. Come on now. But pray for them. Not only those people who spitefully use us, but also those who persecute us. Persecution comes in many forms and fashion, and for the most part here in the United States, we haven't had to face severe persecution. I do believe things are changing in our culture, and we do see that often Christians today, believers, are often made fun of and condemned and called all kind of names at this point. And so we see some of that verbal persecution, and I know words are very hurtful. We've been, some people have shared words with us that have hurt us deeply, and unfortunately somewhere along our life we've probably shared words with other people that's hurt them deeply, because words are powerful. But sometimes people will physically persecute you. I don't imagine too many of us has been in that scenario because of our Christian beliefs or because we worship the Lord. We haven't seen too much of that yet. But at the same time, the Lord says, you pray for that person. Those people who have shared hurtful, deep, hurtful words with you. Or maybe even physically mistreated you because of who you are. Jesus says you pray for them. The truth is they need to be prayed for. You bring them before the Lord and you pray. I know God's blessings on them. And so Jesus says, love your enemies.
you do that. And this is how. You bless those who curse you. You do good to those who hate you. And you pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. That's how you love the enemy. But the truth is, there's a deeper question that's probably rolling around our mind and probably even deep in our heart. And maybe with a little disgust, and hopefully not a little anger, but sometimes maybe a little anger, we say, why? Why, Lord, should I love that person? You realize how they've treated me? You realize what they've done to me, what they've done to my family? Why should I love them? And I believe sometimes that's running around our mind. It's good to be honest before the Lord. Why? And so why should we? Now, I know you've heard this before. Because Jesus said so. Growing up, you probably ask your mom and dad why. And they probably said, because I told you so. As mom and dads, we probably said, because I said so. Come on now. Yep, you've heard that before, and you've probably said that a time or two if you have children. But as we ask that question, why should I love my enemies? Just to say because Jesus said so, I don't believe settles the question in our heart and mind. I believe that's true. We should love our enemies simply because Jesus says this is what we should do. I believe that. But I don't really believe that answers the question in our heart and mind of why. I'll tell you why. Why we love our enemies is to demonstrate a God kind of love. To demonstrate, not only to the enemy, but to the world, a God kind of love. I don't know about you, but I'm sure glad there's a God kind of love that brought me into the kingdom. There was a time that I didn't accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. There was a time in my life, if you ever said, well, you're going to be a pastor of a church and you're going to be sharing the word, I would have laughed at you. But the reason we love our enemies is to demonstrate a God kind of love. Look at verses 45 and 48 with me for a few minutes. Jesus just told us that we should love our enemies and how. And then he tells us why. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brother only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Jesus said a whole lot of stuff to us in those few verses. And I don't have time to talk about everything that he talked about in those verses, but there's a few things I want us to get. And that's the why. The why we love our enemies. The first thing he says to us is so that we would be sons of our Father. Now, if we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior this morning, we're referred to as Christians. As Christians, Christian means to be Christ-like. The reason we love our enemies is because Jesus loved His enemies. And so why do we do it? Because Jesus did, and we're striving to be like Jesus, to be sons of the Father. Or in other words, to be true children of God. As children of God, we love like God. The children of God love their enemies because God loves their enemy. Today, all of us that are here have DNA. Can't escape that. It makes us, in a sense, who we are. We have our mom's DNA and our father's DNA. It often gives us the color of our hair, the color of our eyes, our height, our weight. Anyway. And sometimes that it's just DNA. And sometimes it even gives us our health problems. Be it diabetes or heart issues or whatever issues those might be. It's passed through DNA. It's who we are. Often when you put families together, you can say, well, you can tell that though that's their children. Why? Because often we look a lot like our family. It's our DNA. It's just who we're designed to be. Sometimes that DNA gives us good traits, and sometimes that DNA gives us... Anyway. But when it comes to this concept of being sons of your Father, or of our Father, God, to love our enemies is who we are. It should be in our DNA. Because we're children of God. Just as our earthly parents passed down DNA traits to us, our Heavenly Father passes down DNA traits to us. And so we love our enemies because God loves His enemies. I don't know about you, but I want to be a true child of God. I hope that you do as well. We do that by loving our enemies. And it's a powerful thing. It's a God thing. It's a God kind of love. It's not a man or human kind of love. The human side of us say, I hate them. I want to get even with them. That type of spirit in us will drive us to be miserable, horrible individuals. That's not a God kind of love. A God kind of love says, even though you treat me badly, I love you. Because we're sons of the Father. Not only does Jesus talk about being sons of the Father, He also says to us, if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? It's often very easy to love those who love you. I remember when Becky and I were dating, it was so easy to love her. We wrote sweet little notes. It was before cell phones and all that stuff. Before the video thing where you can talk to the other person and see. I remember as a child, we seen that on the Jetsons and we thought, that'll never happen. Here we are. I would save all my quarters. I was in college. If any of you college students, you know, usually use quarters to do laundry. Thankfully, I got to go home and mom would help me with laundry. Anyway, but I would save all my quarters to feed the payphone at the top of the stairwell in the men's dormitory at Ohio Christian University so that I could talk to Becky. And I was not the only one there. There were several other guys. Are you done yet? Because they wanted, you know, that's just a... She was easy to love. All those notes, we kept them for years, and I've told you all about those wonderful things. And she was easy to love. You know why? Because when I'd write that note, she would send me back another note that smelled like Becky, because she'd spray it with perfume. You ladies, you know, she'd spray it with perfume. And you'd pull it out of my mailbox, and I was like, you know what I mean? Come on now. Been there. She was easy to love. And I opened that letter up and she would say all those wonderful things about me. So sweet. Boy, was she in for a surprise. But anyway, but so was I. We've been married for 30 some years now. Has it all been perfect? No. Still love her. But she still loves me. And so when those disagreements come and And when things happen, it's still easy to love her because she loves me back. And so it's much easier to love those who love you, even though there's times that you know, there's difficulty. There's a saying in the family. I don't know where it came from, because my wife is still alive. You can attest to that, right? Well, she's not back there. Anyway, she is, trust me. She's in the building. My three children are here. Mr. Eli and Aubrey. But they are famous for saying, "I can't do that. My dad will kill me." They're still alive. My wife, when she incidentally, I'm going to be in all kind of trouble. I'm glad she's not in here at the moment. She'll watch it later, though. But when she backed her car into my truck in the yard, tore the fender all up, the first thing she said, I believe, was to Kathy Evans, is, "Mike's going to kill me." I haven't even killed an enemy yet. But it's easy to love those who love us back. And Jesus said, that's easy to do. In fact, even the people that nobody loves, the tax collectors, you know anything about the tax collectors in the Bible, everybody hated the tax collector. They was everybody's enemy because they was taking Israelite money and giving it to the Roman Empire, who the Roman Empire was the person who was oppressing the nation of Israel. So everybody hated the tax collector. But Jesus said, even the tax collectors do that. That is not a God kind of love. As believers, as Christians, we are to love different than the world. And that's why we love the enemy, because it's a God kind of love. Because we don't love like the world loves. Because we've experienced a God kind of love. We've experienced forgiveness and mercy and grace when we did not deserve it. And the truth is, right now, you're experiencing the love of God. And the truth is, none of us deserve it. But isn't it beautiful that He still loves us? And He's still for us? And He still wants the best things for us? That's a God kind of love. And Jesus, that's why you love your enemies, is because it's different. And at some point, the enemy is going to say, "Why are you loving me? Why do you do these things for me when I treat you so horribly?" And that's your opportunity to share Jesus. It's because of Jesus. That's why. Can't take too much time to talk about that this morning. But I do want us to note verse 48. And I don't know about you, but this verse just catches my attention so much. How many of us want to be perfect? Anybody? Come on now. Yeah, some of us do. Some of us are perfectionists. My youngest daughter sitting right. Yep, she's pointing to herself. Absolutely. She gets that from DNA from her father. I'm the person to say, if you're not going to do it right, don't do it at all. Just don't. To my own demise, I'm a perfectionist. Sometimes that gets to your ego, though. So, nonetheless. So verse 48 just screams at me. Therefore, you got this, okay. Now stay with me. You shall be perfect. Do you know anybody that's perfect? I don't know anybody that's perfect. Even when I look in the mirror, I say, "Oop, that's not perfect." I can guarantee you that. But Jesus said, when we love our enemies, we shall be perfect. Note the comparison. Just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Excuse me? What? You're telling me that when I love my enemies, I can be perfect as God in heaven is perfect? I don't know about you, but we have to think about this a few minutes.
It has everything to do with your understanding of perfect.
When we usually think about the word perfect, we mean that there's absolutely no flaws, no mistakes. It's just pristine, right? That's what we usually think about as perfect. We've probably never encountered that, other than the perfect love of God. So one time I owned a 92 Ford pickup truck. It was a little short cab. It was a little extended cab, but you didn't have doors to get in the back. There was a seat back there, which was hilarious. You know what I'm talking about. And I had, at that time, I had three children. That was not the vehicle that worked best for my family. It was not perfect. It was a pretty truck, and I loved it. But I traded that truck in on a Chevy Trailblazer. Extended, four-door, had a third-row seat. And we said that was the perfect automobile for us. There was a seat for every kid. And everybody had enough room. The only thing they deal with then is he or she's looking at me. That was a whole lot better than the smush we had before. It was perfect. Now, it was used. It wasn't a new Trailblazer. It was used. It had some scratches. Had some French fries under the seat. If you have kids, you experience that. It had some various pieces of straw running around the back, where somebody hauled some straw in the back of it. We loved that car. And we said, this is perfect for us. In fact, today, I probably still say it's probably the best car I've ever owned. Now, did it ever break down? Yeah, it broke down. I replaced the front hubs three or four times. When I finally got rid of it at about 300,000 miles, this is a good car. Second gear went out of the transmission. We drove it that way for a year. You just took off slowly. Hope you weren't in a hurry if you were behind us. But nonetheless, it was perfect for us. And we kept it a long time, 300,000 miles. In fact, I still see it running around town every now and then. And I look at that and I say, man, there's our Trailblazer. You ever get emotional over a car? Some of you probably don't, but like he's lost his mind. Yes, I know. But we loved that car. Believe it or not, we went everywhere with that thing. Never mind. But it was perfect for us. Was it perfect? No. But it was perfect for us. Jesus says to us, when we love our enemies, we are perfect in love as our Father in heaven is perfect in love. Just what they needed in the moment. Just who we needed to be in the moment. Jesus is talking about why we love our enemies. It's about character and behavior. When we love our enemies, we are acting like Christ. That's Christian perfection. And so we ask ourselves that deep question in us, why should I love my enemies? Because we're true children of the Father. It's our DNA. It's because we love different than the world. And because we strive for Christian perfection, character, and behavior. And we want to love like Christ loves us. That's why we love our enemies. We could spend a lot of time this morning. We've spent some time talking about loving our enemies. But here's where the rubber meets the road. We often understand love as an emotion. I want you to know this morning, we're going to talk about this tonight. Love is a choice. If we're going to love our enemies, it's not going to be about emotion. We're not going to have that warm fuzzy or that moment of euphoria when we smell that envelope from our loved one. It's going to be because we choose to, because of all these reasons. And so this morning, to love our enemies is a choice. I hope we choose to love our enemies. Let's stand together this morning.
I'm going to ask Lana and Brian if you would come and play softly this morning. We've taken some time and shared about loving our enemies. And sometimes it's a difficult choice. And that's the truth. Sometimes it's hard. It's hard sometimes to love of those people. But it's the right thing to do. And so, this whole concept too also follows in this area of the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus is talking about relationships. Actually, out of loving some of those people who at one time were my enemies, some of those people are good friends of mine today. I've shared some of those stories with you. I wonder today, as we're here in this moment, is there a relationship this morning? We have good relationships and we have bad relationships. And sometimes those bad relationships are because those people, we refer to them as our enemies. So is there a relationship or a person this morning that we just need to bring to the Lord? We might even say, Lord, you're going to need to help me to love that person. But I choose to. And so maybe this morning, with that on your mind, you might want to step out to an altar of prayer. Or even this morning, you might want to pray right where you're standing. The Lord is there as much as He is here, but I don't want us to be afraid of the altar. For some reason, too often we're just too afraid of the altar. It's a place that in Scripture is where we meet God. And sometimes in our life, we just need to meet God. And when we're struggling with the enemy, sometimes we need to bring them to God, and we need to bring ourselves to God and say, Lord, help me love them. The psalmist said in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. See if there's any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. I certainly hope this morning that we're not harboring any ill will or anger or hate toward our enemies. But if we are, we can allow God to fix that. And going forward, we can love our enemies as God loved. That's a powerful thing, church. You know how much you love to be loved, and spoken well of, and good things done for. You know, believe it or not, but they do too. And it might just be that act of kindness or that good thing you do that changes their life. It's all about a God kind of love. We're going to pause for a moment. You just be mindful of the Lord this morning.